Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Book of Matthew, chapter 4. How many of you this morning, your Sunday school class had more attendance today than it did last Sunday? How many at least hit their average today? No, from last Sunday. Amen. Isn't it beautiful out? You just never know Missouri weather from one week to another, do you? Look on Matthew chapter 4. Oh, before I get going, I saw this card sitting up here from Brother Lee Ray. It says, it means so much to have a pastor and church family who are there for you with their prayers and visits by phone or in person. I thank you. God bless Lee Ray Keeler. And good to see Lee Ray here today. And also got a... Brother Wilbur got a good report, I heard, this week. So praise the Lord for that. Carol, she snitched on you out in the hall, Wilbur. But said they had a good report. That's awesome. A lot of people sick this week. Cold and flu bug and all that going around. So keep people in your prayers and look out for one another. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishers. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, you know, this morning I was thinking about something. How many times we do things because other people do things. This morning I went back, before I came in here, I was a little late, I was back in High Voltage, and they were singing a song. And if you notice when I come in, whoo, I was sweating. Their singing's a little different than our singing. They, making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart to the King of Kings. And then they said, thumbs out. So, I saw them do it. I did it. What I didn't know was they were going to sing it again. And the next one was elbows back. And then they sang it again and said, feet apart. Chest out. Making melodies in my... So they just... Well, here I am, making melodies. But I've already done this for like four or five times. It was chest out, chin back, and the last one was tongue out. And after about 10 minutes of making melody, I came in here and I was sweating. And I thought, well, once I had started, you know, it was a little late to bail out because all the kids were with me, you know. And have you ever done something because somebody else did it? Yeah. Have you ever had a parent? How many of you have had a parent, a grandparent, a guardian say, well, if he jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? How many of you? How many of you jumped off that cliff? You're in church. You're in church. Jumped off there. Yeah, I know. I know. Searcy, Arkansas, 10 years old. They all jumped off a cliff into a water thing. You know, it was an old, there's an old quarry. They hit water and it filled up. Well, a bunch of kids all, you know, my cousin said, come on! And they jumped. Well, what was I supposed to do? I jumped, amen? Come on. How many of you ever jumped out of an airplane? Yeah, some of you men are going, yeah, but I didn't have a choice. How many of you were the first one to ever jump out of an airplane? No, you followed somebody out that door, amen? Hey, sometimes we follow, and in John chapter 4, we see the beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus, and he's choosing the first disciples. And in verse 19, his first words are what? Follow me. Amen? Listen, if you're going to do something you're not sure about, this is it. You're going to follow somebody you're not sure how it's going to, this is it right here. Follow me. This morning, we're going to look at Peter's lessons from this reoccurring call where Jesus said, hey, follow me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have together. God, we just pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear from you. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The first thing I want us to look at is the follow me of faith. There in verse 19, he saith unto them, follow me. Now, Peter and Andrew are busy at their daily work, making a living, providing for their families. And Jesus comes where they are, where they're working. And I think that's just a good reminder that Jesus always meets us where we are. Amen. He always comes to us. And I believe their hearts had already been prepared for this call. Because now here's the follow me of faith. Now, when I say I believe their hearts are already prepared, if you read previous in this, they knew who Jesus was. They believed he was the Messiah. But this is different now, because now he's pointing to them and saying, leave what you're doing, follow me. And so I think every believer has to respond to this call. Every believer has to ask ourselves, or is asked from God, will you follow me? This is not just a, do you believe in me? Jesus sent his only begotten, God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. If we believe, we can have everlasting life. Yes, but do you trust me? Do you understand? You say, well, I trusted the Lord to save me. But do you trust him with your life? You say, well, I did that when I trusted. Yes, but now will you follow him? Can you see the difference he's making here to these men? He's saying, now I want you to put down everything in your life. I want you to follow me. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. But do we trust him enough to follow him? 2 weeks ago, I was just reading my own Bible study in Deuteronomy chapter 20. And I ran across where the children of Israel are preparing for battle. And I believe it was like verse 7, 6 or 7 there. That it was interesting to me. What caught my attention, what was so interesting to me was, is because God told a priest to tell him, to say, listen, if you have just married a wife and you haven't had time to spend together, go home. I thought, wow. And you see our military today going, hey, any of you guys, just, you know, you, go home. They said, if you planted a vineyard and you haven't had opportunity to see that vineyard grow or to partake of that fruit that you have labored for, if you haven't had, you've just planted your first vineyard and you haven't had time to enjoy it, you know what? Go home. I thought, wow. It gets down into verse 8. In verse 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 20, and the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest any brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. In other words, hey, if there's any one of you that you're afraid and you're fearful about going into this battle, go home. Can you imagine that? You're looking at me funny. I don't know what to think. It's just like, well, you know what? Go home, because I don't want your fears. Listen, God has said he is going to give us the victory. And it's going to be a victory that people, that all of Israel realize came from God, not from you. So you know, listen, I don't want your fear. I don't want your faint-heartedness to spread on these others. And you know what? And if you're fearfulness and you don't believe God's going to, I mean, if you don't trust God, then go home. Wow. Come on. I see this. And I look at this and I go, that's just unbelievable. The Christian life begins and it continues in faith. Child of God, listen, just because you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, he's gonna come back and he's gonna say, but will you follow me? Will you give your life to me? Will you lead the life I want you to live? Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by. The just shall live by what? And 1 John 5, 4, John penned, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so scripture tells us that faith increases and fear decreases. The more we tell God yes, the easier it is to tell the devil no. Amen? The more we tell God, yes, God, I don't understand. I believe that you said it. I'll do it. The more then it's easier to tell the devil no. And so the first thing I see here is this follow me of faith. You got to have faith first. The second thing, look back there at verse 19. Here's the follow me of fishing for men. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I believe this is the neglected call today, personal evangelism. Now, two Sundays ago, we talked about John chapter 4, 34, and where Jesus said to the disciples, he said, don't say 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Remember? He said, I tell you the harvest is, or the fields are white already to harvest. But then he said what? He said, but the laborers are few. And so I believe this is the neglected thing in our churches today, is this call for personal evangelism. And I think the result of the neglect of people saying, well, you know, it's not my plan. Well, I think the results to neglecting God's call is that we see so many churches that aren't full. We see empty pews. Look around. I see seats. We got seats. They could have came this morning. Amen. Boy, you're a hard crowd today. Come on. You know, I mean, so what I'm saying is I believe the result of the neglect is few churches filled. Today, there's too many open spaces. I think too many joyless believers. Too many Christians. Listen, there's too many Christians that walk around today that aren't happy. And I think in our world today, that affects our world today when you see Christians that just aren't happy. I was reading an article by, and I don't know who he is, but I liked what he had to say. Dennis Prager wrote this. He said, I once asked a deeply religious man if he considered himself a truly pious person. He responded that while he aspired to be one, he felt that he fell short in two areas. One was in his being happy enough. He said, unhappy Christians reflect poorly on their religion and their creator. He was right. He goes on to say, unhappy religious people do pose a real challenge to faith. If their faith is so impressive, why aren't they happy? He said, there are only two possible reasons. Either they are not practicing their faith correctly, or they are practicing their faith correctly, and the religion itself is not conducive to happiness. And then it said, most outsiders assume the latter reason, that their religion just don't bring happiness. And I look at this and I say, you know, sadly, that is too true. You know, I look at our world today and listen, the cure for neglect is sowing and reaping. The Bible says the cure for this personal evangelism, personal call, the psalmist wrote in Psalms 126 in verse 5, he said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Converts bring joy. Church, listen, you want to get your church excited? You want to get people pumped up? Teenagers, you want to get your youth department excited? Senior saints, you want to get your members bouncing again? You know what? Go out and tell people about Jesus. Don't get excited about the pastor. Don't get excited about the church. Don't get excited about the song service. Get excited about Jesus. That was a weak amen for that comment. Go get excited about Jesus and take that message outside these doors. Because when we go out sowing, that's what he said. Don't say 4 months and then come at the harvest. He said the fields are wider. Listen, you say, well, people won't listen. I guarantee you people will listen. We have a starving community out there. You know, and I read the paper and I watch the news and I hear that shooting. And, you know, after that shooting, all they can talk about is gun control. And I'm like, okay, whatever your opinion, I don't care. But you know what? What this country needs more than gun control are more than more laws. It needs Jesus. This country needs to hear about Jesus. This city, this town, this community, what they need, you say, I'll tell you what we need better lighting. No, we need Jesus. And so the only way that's going to happen is not to bring in more preachers and more churches. The way that's going to happen is when all of us sow and reap. And converts bring joy. There's nothing better to a soul than winning somebody Jesus. There's nothing going to make you happier, me happier, than when we see people saved. You know, there's nothing in the world that excites a church when we see people in the baptism and they're getting baptized, and that means somebody's accepted Jesus Christ and they're publicly confessing that. And man, I mean, there is nothing more exciting than that, is there? I mean, it just brings joy. And, you know, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory." And ye are our glory and joy. Man, that is joy. You know, I said a couple weeks ago, we got to get past programs and get to people. And then right after I said that, I walked off the platform and Brother Greg came up and he started talking about our Fruitful February campaign. And I thought, well, last thing I said is, we've got to get past the programs and we've got to get to the people. And then we start our program. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having good programs. There's nothing wrong with having a plan. Here's the problem. When, you know, because this Fruitful February, I'm enjoying it. I wish we hadn't missed last week because, I mean, I think we were on a build. And I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate our teachers. I appreciate how they work. And I appreciate, you know, maybe you got a call from your teacher this week encouraging you to come because they don't want that pit. I don't care what encouraged them. But listen, it does matter what encouraged them, because we can't lose track that it's not about the program. It's about the ministry. And the ministry is people. You know, my ministry to you is a ministry as a pastor to people. Our ministry as a church, listen, needs to be educating and building people to go out and reach souls. And then we need to get out and go out and tell people about Jesus and win them to Christ and bring them in to be baptized and to be taught how to win others to Christ. Can you say something about that? Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we must realize that to follow me was to make fishers of men, so that we could learn to be fishers of men. The third thing, I want you to turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look with me to verse 24. And here's the follow me of full surrender. So I said there's the follow me of faith. There's a follow me of fishing for men. Well, here's the follow me of full surrender. Verse 24, Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, remember, Peter rebels at the news of the cross. If you look up at verse 21, when Jesus first told the disciples that he was going to die, that he was going to go to the cross. Look at verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now, in verse 24 here, we see the Lord's call to self-denial. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So Peter would have stopped the crucifixion. Peter said, "This shall not be. I can't. Lord, you're saying that you're going to be taken and you're going to be crucified, and I wouldn't let that happen." Do you realize if Peter had his way, there'd been no crucifixion? If Peter had his way, there'd be no resurrection. There'd be no ascension. There'd be no return of Christ. Because Peter didn't understand what the Lord was saying when the Lord said, "Hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to give my life and I'm going to die." Now, he missed everything after that, because all of a sudden he was like, "No, Lord, I wouldn't let anything happen to you." Well, you know, I look at this, I see, how does this affect us today? Jesus had to say to Peter, "Peter's not about you." Preachers, they hear that a lot. "It's not about you." Church members need to hear that. "It's not about you." It's about him. And sometimes we have to deny self, forget about what we think and what we want, and listen, say, Lord, it's what you want. That's what I want. And self-denial, listen, surrender is complete victory when we're saying, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Matter of fact, Peter says, no, Lord, I can't let this happen. Jesus said to Peter, now listen, this is important because Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, listen, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And what did Peter say? Peter said, he said, Lord, all these others might deny you. How would you like to have been in that room as one of those disciples? And Peter, you know, it's like me standing up here going, Lord, all these guys, they might deny you. I never would. How would you appreciate that? Probably not, amen? But Lord, he said, Lord, I wouldn't let that happen. All these others might deny you. I'd never deny you. And that's when he said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Wow. So here's the follow me of full surrender. Peter, it's not about you. Give your life to me. Now, look with me to John chapter 21. Look with me to verse 22. Here's one of my favorite. You hate to say this, one of my favorite areas of the Bible, and then say, I don't know why, but I find myself loving this area of Scripture right here. And I do. And I think it must touch my heart. It must speak to my heart in a certain way because I love this area of Scripture. But here's the follow me of focusing on Jesus. In verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now what's going on? Peter learns what he will do for Christ. After the resurrection, Jesus is crucified, and there's the resurrection. Amen? And now before the ascension, he is with Peter. They are on the shore. Peter and the others had been out fishing, and they brought some fish in. And they had cooked that fish, and they'd sat there and ate that fish together. They'd eaten that fish with Peter and Jesus, and it's in the evening of the day. And look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Can you imagine? They're sitting there. Now it's just Jesus and Peter, and they're sitting there. And Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Remember what he'd said? Lord, all these others might deny you. I'd never deny you. So you wonder how Peter's like, ooh, man, ooh, that hurt, right? But he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Now, I don't know, and here's what I kind of, and I don't know why I think about this, but I don't know, was there a gap here? Did he immediately the second time, if you look at verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Did he immediately, I mean, right after Peter answered, did he say it again? Or was there a space there? I don't know. You say, does it matter? Maybe not. I just kind of like to set the scene. Amen? And so I see this, and I don't know if there was, but then he said that. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then he said unto him, feed my sheep. And again, I don't know if there was a pause there, but he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? It says Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Amen? Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, verse 18 is what's really caught Peter's attention. Because Jesus said, very, very, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. In verse 19 it says, and this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, the wild thing is here, Jesus just told Peter, he said, you know, when you were young, you did what you want to do, but you know what? You know, as you get older, hey, people's going to do to you things you wish they wouldn't do. Things are going to happen in your life that you just, I mean, it's going to be hard to bear. And they're going to happen for my sake. And you know what? You're going to give your life for me. Now, that's hard to hear. Amen. I mean, you're going to die. I mean, it's not going to be pleasant, and you're going to die. And Peter is happy. Peter's like, oh, good. Can you imagine that? How many of y'all jump up and I go, woohoo! No, really? What? Lord, what'd you say? No, because Peter, the last thing he remembered was denying his Savior. And now the Lord's saying, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, you're going to give your life for me. You're going to die for me. And Peter's like, oh, good. Good. But look at verse 21. Then he wonders what John will do. Isn't that like most Christians today? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? He's speaking of John. Lord, what about this man? And you look at verse 22, it says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I love this because our Lord's answer to Peter was, what is that to thee? I mean, I just told you you're going to give your life for me, and you're like, oh, what about him? You know, that's the problem in our churches today. Sometimes we're looking around at each other and we're going, what about them? Well, you let them get away with that. Listen, I had that problem a lot when I was younger. I didn't want to go to church. I told my parents I didn't want to go to that. I looked at not God, I looked at Christians, and I thought they were the most negative. I got to be careful here, don't I? Listen, at 16, I just told them, I don't want to go. There's some most judgmental people in the world. I don't want to go. And I've used this illustration a million times, how my mom told me, you've got to get your eyes off people and get them on God. I mean, and here's Peter. And maybe that's why I draw to this scripture so often. Because Peter said, well, what about him? And the Lord says, what is that to thee? You follow me. Amen? Church? I mean, people say, well, I know this preacher, and what is that to you? Well, I know this deacon, and what is that to you? Pray for them. You follow him. You follow Jesus. So, you know, the question is, what's your response to the Lord's call? How will you decide to follow Jesus? Will you go all the way? Will you say yes to him? Listen, I know this is not about, yes, if you're here and you're not saved, we want to introduce you to the Savior. Man, there's nothing greater than coming to know Jesus Christ, your Lord. But listen, he's talking to the child of God, and he's saying, hey, the follow me of faith. Here's the follow me of fishing for men. Here's the follow me of full surrender. And I believe here's the follow me of focusing on Jesus. And child of God, a lot of times it's just, will you follow me? Will you focus on me? What's your answer to him today? Are you following him? I'm not asking you how often you go to church. I'm not asking you how often you read your Bible, how often you pray. Those are important in the follow me. But right now, I think Jesus has a lot of believers that he's asking, will you follow me? Will you give your all to Jesus Christ? Would you bow your heads with me?